Off the ball.
Rugby.
Have you seen the way Scotland play? Scotland, this has been waiting. This has been coming. They are so good. And yet I still can't sit here and say they're definitely going to win in Dublin.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
He's got a goal! Oh,
the Saints are marching on with three wins on the trot after a shaky start in the SSE Electricity Premier Division.
The ball comes in and they score from the free kick. Would you believe
heading
it?
Down the rocky road to Dublin to face St Pat's this Friday night are Doherty United.
Conor Keighley rises once again.
Doherty's men are in the doghouse after two defeats in their last two matches. Will the informed James Brown help the Saints get payback after two home draws against the Louthmen last year?
Brilliant performance for St Pat's tonight.
Vinnie Perth will be with Phil Egan at Richmond Park. It's the League of Ireland. It's live and exclusive on Off the Ball from 7 on Friday night.
That was a superb bit of play.
League of Ireland on Off the Ball.
Off the ball. This is News Talk.
You're welcome back to Thursday night's Off the Ball, and we are continuing with our tributes to Ronnie Delaney, who passed away yesterday at the age of 91. So let's begin here by reminding ourselves of Delaney's greatest moment, which is, of course, at the day he won the gold medal in the 1500 metres at the 1956 Summer Games in Melbourne.
Here's the bell, the last lap. Hewson comes up alongside Lincoln. And now Landy makes his move. 300 yards to go. Hewson seems to be holding on. They're almost there. Look, that man in the green shirt, where did he come from? It's the Irish miler, Ron Delaney. He's flying now. Fourth. Third. Second now. He's actually sprinting. He doesn't seem tired in the least bit. He's coming on like an express train. He's passing Hewson, and Hewson seems powerless to catch up. Delaney wins. His surprise victory in the record time of 3 minutes 41.2 seconds is one of the most unexpected sensations of the games. Landy waited too long, but he takes the bronze medal for third. Ron Delaney, running for Ireland, but a student at Villanova, couldn't be beaten.
Yes, that's from the official film made to commemorate the 1956 Olympic Games in Melbourne. Now, I'm very happy to say that we're joined on the line this evening by Danny McDade, a two-time Olympian for Ireland. He competed at Munich in 1972 and again 4 years later in Montreal. Danny, you're very welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Well, thank you, Owen. I'm good, Jeff. Yeah.
So, you and Ronnie would have become good friends later in life, but I'm keen to get your memories of that day in 1956. Talk to us about how much you knew about Ronnie before those Olympics, and I guess how much you knew about this event when it was happening, and I guess after it happened.
I probably didn't knew very little about it. At the time, I was a 14-year-old listening to a battery radio to the games in Melbourne, and that was my first. I suppose it may have sparked something on me to take up athletics, you know, in years to come, you know. But yeah, Ronnie and me became good friends then, maybe over the last 20 years, you know. I would, you know, a fellow athlete. He wasn't alone a fellow athlete, you know. He was out of class, Ronnie, as a personal friend as well, you know. And we had many meetings over the years, you know, but I think there's a dark cloud over Ireland these days, you know, with the passing of Ronnie. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't only an athlete. He was, you know, anybody that didn't hear the name Ronnie Delaney in their lifetime, and I don't know where they were, you know, but he was, you know, he was the you know, winning that Olympic gold in 56, you know, it kindled a lot of, you know, that was the first gold medal on the track for Ireland to win, you know. And as it was, we didn't win another gold medal in any sport, but until boxing in 1992, when Michael Kruth won his medal, and then of course we had athletes getting picking up medals like John Tracy in 84 and Sonia O'Sullivan in 2000, and Rob Heffernan a bronze in the medals. But you know, Rice set the benchmark, and the bar was very high for you know the 1500 meter runners that came along, and many very good 1500 runners that follow in his footsteps, like Eamon Coughlin, Ray Flynn, have you, and even the present day 1500 meters are holding their own on an SOL, you know. So Ronnie, a good friend, you know, but I was fortunate, you know, that 10 years ago, after you spent a few days with him, he accepted an invitation to present the awards at the Kenny Athletic Club, and I spent a few days with him, along with his good wife Joan, you know, and you know, I learned a lot about him, you know, and he was, you know, when I was in Ronnie's company, he treated me like I was the Olympic champion. Not him, you know. Well, but that's the type of guy that yet he was. You know, Ronnie was the definition of a gentleman. You know, but he was also a very shrewd businessman, and you know that went far in his business career. You know, but you know, he'll be sadly missed. You know, You know, Ronnie coined the phrase, you know, there's no thing as a former Olympian, once an Olympian, always an Olympian.
That's
you know,
it.
And, you know, he was a joker as well, you know. You know, one time he was running an 800-meter race, and, you know, it was quite windy that evening or something, you know, and he didn't run too well anyway, you know, and some of the journalists asked, and Ronnie was at the trouble to you. Yeah, he says, I ran out of it. You know, so he could... He could kind of joke as well, you know, but yes, he'd be, you know, he was so good, you know, at he gave his time freely, you know, and in later years, championed, you know, for the elderly and that type of thing, you know. So I was fortunate to get to know him very well, and we would have had conversations on the phone, and we would have exchanged the Christmas cards, you know. But unfortunately, the last few years, I think the health wasn't that good, you know. So it's just a sadness, you know. It feels like I've lost a relative, that type of thing, you know.
Yeah, God, it absolutely is unbelievably sad. But there's something so enduring in a perverse way about the sounds that we've heard over the past 24 hours. Like, there's that piece of audio that we played you there a moment ago, which just sounds so unusual compared to how we understand broadcasting today. And even last night, we played the audio from the BBC, the sort of crackly audio. And because it's in Melbourne, the world was a much bigger place, obviously, in 1956. You mentioned your transistor radio at the top of the piece here. That almost adds to the mystique around the whole thing, Danny, that even for people who were around to be old enough to remember 1956, even for people like you, Danny, there's a sense of, you know, distance about it, the mystique about it, as I say, not fully being able to come to terms with this unbelievable moment of Irish history that is happening in real time.
Oh yeah, you know, he's a legend, you know. I mean, you know, I know from being friendly with Ronnie that there's nothing more than he would like to love to see another Olympic champion in athletics, you know. But it wasn't to be, you know. But he reached the ripe old age of 91, you know, and he was like. One of the quotes on a post there today, I think, summed it up about the famous that he did on television, you know. But the quote now was, you know, that when Ronnie goes to the Golden Gates, St. Peter will ask, "Did you bring it, Ronnie?" Yes, you know, I suppose there are not that many around now that remember that ad on television, you know, where somebody asked, you know, "Did you bring the medal? Can I see it, Ronnie?" You know, but that, I think that was a very good post there today, you know. That'll be Ronnie will be remembered for a long, long, long time. You know, he was a legend and left a legacy behind him. That time and when he won gold. You know that in 56. You know, it was, you know, his devastating kick over the straight, home straight. You know, he was most feared athlete in the world. You know, he could kick over that home straight, and you know, his 341.2. You know, it set the standard, and it's what every young athlete looks to today. You know, to be and there. You know, if you mentioned 341, then it's, you know, things have moved on since then. You know, but it was an Olympic record at the time, and you know that you know, it's still the benchmark to break the 4 minutes, or you know, 3:41 was equivalent to the 4 minutes. You know, so yeah. Ronnie set the tone from way back then. You know, it's hard to believe that it's that long ago. You know, but
can I ask you, Danny, the 1960s, when you're building up to, you know, the peak of your athletic career, and as I say, you're a two-time Olympian, and those Olympics come for you in the 1970s. Throughout the 1960s, the Delaney's star is rising faster and faster. It's not just the 1956 story, as we'll hear from Mike a little bit later on. The idea of his prowess at university level is something that carries his celebrity around the United States and around the world. Can you give us a sense of just how important a figure he was in Ireland in the 1960s, Ronnie Delaney?
Oh yeah, of course. You know, he did early retire quite early. You know, something like he was only 28 or something. You know, and you know, I think it was Achilles tendon that, you know, was injuries. You know, that he wasn't yet, of course, been an Olympic champion, and you know that he had to. You know, them times, you know, you didn't make money out of athletics. You had to look to the future, to, you know, where you're going to be in 10 years' time. You know, your Olympic medal can disappear from people's minds. You know, when you go for a job. You know, so Ronnie would have retired early through injury. You know, but he was big. You know, in world athletics, you know, and you know that that he come to, you know, like Ronnie like myself, he was a relatively late developer. He was in his late teens before he took up running seriously, you know. So he, you know, to achieve what he achieved, you know, but he gave so much of his time. You know, when he came to Letterkenny, you know, he had time to talk to the children, he had time to talk to parents, he had time to talk to coaches, and give his time freely, you know. And, you know, there would have been, you know, some of my friends would have done, he would have agreed, no problem, to a radio or media interview. So he gave of his time freely all through his life, you know. And for that reason, he was, like I say, he wasn't just a great athlete. He was a gentleman as well, you know. And you know, probably the one in his gold medal in 56 gave him that confidence. You know, that when he walked into a room, heads turned. You know, I remember when we went out for dinner the weekend that he was doing our presentations in Letterkenny. You know, even then, you know, that was in 2016. You know, 50 years on or more. You know, that, you know, people still turned their heads. You know, that's Ronnie Delaney. You know, even in Letterkenny after all them years. You know, and he was, you know, he was quite happy to pose for a photograph or you know, chat to them at they'd come over to the table, and you know, he would chat to them the same as an ordinary guy. You know, but that was Ronnie. You know, yeah. I was just like Ronnie, and we, you know, he would, you know, it was him that would make the approach if we turned up at a function, or that, you know, he would, it's him that would make the approach to speak to Danny Dade, you know, which I was chuffed with, you know, and, you know, like he would always, you know, be so gentle and kind, and his wife Joan, a lovely woman as well, and I sent Catherine and me send our condolences to the family, you know, for which I'll be attending the funeral at the weekend, you know, but just in case I don't get a chance to talk to them, we send our condolences, you know.
Absolutely. Listen, Danny, thank you so much for coming on the radio tonight and talking to us about the man that Ronnie was. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Owen. Yeah, I much appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Danny McDade there on the line, two-time Irish Olympian, and really interesting just to hear a little bit more about his dedication to Irish athletics, well beyond the point of him actually being one of Ireland's greatest ever athletic superstars. His legacy will come from moments well beyond 1956, I'm sure, as Danny McDade gave us a flavour of there. We want to play a little bit more audio before we get our next guest on. So we've played you the official film. We want to play you a little bit more from the 2012 interview that Ger Gilroy did here on Off the Ball. So he spoke to Ronnie Delaney, and here he is recalling his momentous move from Ireland to Villanova University in 1954 and the crucial observation made by his coach there, the legendary Jumbo Elliott.
It was the 23rd of September 1954, and I flew out of Shannon. You were waked out of Shannon in those days. There was no runway at Dublin Airport. I arrive in New York, and I'm collected by the captain of the team, Jim Moran. So it was the 23rd of September. I go off to the track a couple of days later. I rested up. They thought it was Rip Van Winkle they'd got, because I stayed in bed for a couple of days and I arrived there. The coach Elliott was quoted as saying, "When the hell is this damn Irishman going to come down and see us?" So I went down, and the first thing he did was he got me to run a few laps for him and run a few straightaways. And then the very paternally American coaches, and he came over and he put his arm around my shoulder and he said, "Ron," he says, "I was already becoming Ron, you are going to be a great miler one day." Now, I wasn't exactly impressed with this. I wanted to be a great half miler. But he recognized that talent, and sequentially then to take the next 2 years to bring us up to December 1956. 1955, going home to Ireland for holidays, but I used to have to race everyone when I was back here. I was exhausted. My dancing was affected in the crystal and all these different ballrooms. I was one of the one who got tired and the wall was a limerick.
Oh, no.
But he says to me, "When you're home, run a mile." And I said, being a young man of good manners, I said, "Yes, coach." And I didn't run the mile until August. And Jumbo, Billy Morton was the great athletics impresario in Ireland at the time. And I was up at the Irish Swimming Championships. I wasn't training that hard. In a couple of days before the day I was supposed to race, and I stayed up late the night before the night was the race, and I was up in Bangor, and I was a bit bushed, you know. So doesn't it start raining on the train coming down from Belfast? And I'm praying, "Dear God, make the meet be cancelled." The meet was cancelled and was held the next day, and the next day I was fully refreshed, and I wouldn't be telling you this long-winded story if I hadn't broke the Irish record for the mile. My first time I ever ran a mile, I ran 4 minutes 5 seconds. So Elliott was right, I was going to be a great miler. And again, this informational thing, 150 in the European Championships, my first run in America on boards, 210, breaking the Boston Garden record, my first run at a mile, I was gifted, and these things inspired me. And then you begin to dream of winning the Olympics.
Yeah, that's a brilliant interview done by Ger in 2012 with Ronnie Delaney, and that piece is available for free wherever you get your Off the Ball podcast. Just search Ronnie Delaney and it'll come up in the OTB Daily podcast feed. Now, our next guest is Mike Fleet, who competed against Delaney at the World University Games, where Delaney won gold in 1961. Mike, you're very welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. It's very nice to be going down memory lane. Awfully sad to hear of the departure of one of our all-time great athletes from midst, but honoured to have run against him, and big sympathies to the wider team Delaney at this sad moment.
One of the things that we can't get a full appreciation of, Mike, is just how Ronnie was viewed outside of Ireland. And sometimes, and some of this is due to the passage of time, we just don't quite appreciate how big a star he was in the United States and on the collegiate university system globally. Can you talk to us a little bit about the star that he was on that circuit?
Well, having been a tad younger than Ronnie and an aspiring athlete myself, he was one of three absolute all-time greats up to whom I looked. He linked him with Emil Zatopek, a superb distance runner, dear old Roger Bannister, the sub-4-minute pioneer, and my recall is that Ronnie was probably in the first 10 sub-4-minute milers.
Yeah.
I don't know whether anybody can immediately verify that, but I
used to it anyway.
The youngster take press cuttings of the athletes all over the world, and he was in with those. He was one of the top three for me as an aspiring young athlete in sort of 1950s.
Wow, that's high praise.
Oh, high praise indeed. I mean, I've still got very happy memories of running against him in Sofia, Bulgaria in 1961. I think I was lucky enough to beat the game's record in the semi-final. Ronnie didn't bat an eyelid. He just talked us out of it in the final. Tactically superb, outran us all, and won in about a second slower than I'd done in the semi-final. great character. How he could talk through a warm-up was unbelievable. We were gasping and Ronnie would be talking away and didn't bat an eyelid. He was a very friendly superstar.
Because that really does shine through in all the interviews that Delaney gave later in life. He really embraced the spotlight. He really embraced the fact that he could bring his charisma out when he was competing.
Oh, certainly. I mean, the way he sort of dominated the Olympics before your memory of him, that bit, and he outkicked a superb field, absolutely superb field, and another really great athlete, John Landy, was in his wake in the Olympic final, and it's rather lovely. I've got his book with a beautiful dedication in it, which he did for me when I visited him in his home country. And if you open up the book and look at the dust jacket, there's German chap Richtenheim in his wake, not in touch with him at all. Ronnie's striding away, beautiful control and stride on the cover of the hard-covered book. So if anybody wants to see what he looked like in that final without looking up the video, that book is a lovely book. And I'm delighted to have it with his dedication in it.
Was that all natural, Mike? Or was that a learned beauty in terms of his stride?
Well, I think he was a natural. Some people would have said it looked a wee bit sort of tight, but I thought he was very, very rhythmical. But I have very happy memories of that thing. Even though he beat me, it was an honour to be beaten by such a great athlete. He's looking at me from my TV screen now. I've picked out his portrait from the gallery. And he arranged for my wife and I to visit him so not too long ago. And the funny thing about that was that he phoned up 3 days before we were due to be going, and he said, "It's Ronnie here. I'm sorry, you won't be able to come." He said, I said, "Well, what do you mean? We booked our flights. We booked our hotel." He said, "Well, I'm very sorry." He said, "Being an Olympic champion, you have to follow out gigs." And he said, "I've been called to Madrid." He said, "You'll have to come another time." Not sorry, but just... And to be fair, we arranged another time with him. And we were given two lovely wine-lubricated meetings with him near his work. He was very sweet about it, and we had a good chat. And I said to him, I was in the process of writing a children's coaching, or an athlete's coaching book, you see. And I said, "Ronnie, I've got tips and tricks from the top chapter in it. Would you give me a tip from the top?" He said, "Oh, no, I can't do that." I thought, "Come on, you know, all your expertise, your brilliant indoor running, sort of virtually unbeaten indoors, Olympic champion, mama." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what," he said, "you can tell them from me He said, if they want their portrait in the National Gallery, they've got to be an Olympic champion. And if you do that, you can put my portrait in your book.
Yeah.
So in my coaching books, that lovely portrait of Ronnie sitting on his chair surrounded by his bits and pieces. And I think it's the only coaching book with a portrait of an athlete saying, if you want your portrait in the National Gallery, you've got to be an Olympic champion. He said that with no sort of side, no pushiness, just a twinkle in his eye. He always seemed to have a twinkle in his eye, that man, in my opinion.
I'm still thinking about you putting him in the same category as Emil Zátopek and Roger Bannister. It's just fantastic to hear this level of context, because we can do all the reading, we can watch as much tape as there is online, but we can never get a proper sense of just how great he was in the context of his contemporaries unless we hear from somebody who lived it and competed against him, like yourself. Obviously, Zátopek, long distance runner, Bannister, more middle distance. It does feel that, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong here, that in both of those disciplines, the 1950s was a revolutionary era. I mean, Bannister is the most famous example and smashing that 4 minute barrier. Was that the truth? Was this when the game really changed?
Head and shoulders. People began to realise what human potential was, I think, in those days. I mean, Zátopek used to find a deep field of snow and run around and make his own running track in the snow. he did it his way, but looking at the man we're talking about now and how many people were beaten by him, I think he beat more athletes than any other I could think of. And was it over 30 indoor titles he got? Damon Coughlin was, what they say about Coughlin, chairman of indoor running. But I don't know what your man had a name, and I can't remember what it was. He was one moment was the chairman, maybe in the president and the king of the boards or something. I think Ronnie was known as the king of the boards. But wherever he appeared, he seemed to do really well.
Can you tell us a little bit about these 1961 World University Games? So this was when Ronnie won gold in the 800 metres.
He'd been sort of predicted as being an 800 metre man. And in fact, he did the 1500 metres in the same games and decided not to do the final.
Okay.
It's a long way back for an 88-year-old to remember that sort of stuff. But I reckon that he might have been more vulnerable had he not done the 1500 metres. That's my memory of it. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he did. It was a very tight area. It was behind the Iron Curtain. It was a revelation to us as to how the people were living there. Clearly, Ronnie didn't bat an eyelid at any restrictions or anything they tried to put on us. And he absolutely shone above everything else. And to be fair, he was Olympic champion at the time. And I was a greenhorn at Loughborough. There was a European champion chap, I think, in the 800 metres with us as well. Might have been, I haven't had time to look it up. I think his name was, I can't remember what his name was, but he was European champion, and he didn't get a look in with Ronnie. Ronnie was renowned as a great tactician. He knew when to kick in a race, and when he kicked like a high-speed mule. Very friendly, but gosh, was he a competitor.
So you talk about being behind the Iron Curtain there, and that all kind of resting fairly easily on the shoulders of Delaney. This is Sofia, right?
Say again?
Those university games took place in Sofia in 1961.
Sofia in Bulgaria, yes, indeed. One of the restrictions was that they counted us into the hotel main door. They counted us in and out of the different levels in the hotel. There was a little lady on each floor checking us in and out. We didn't look behind the pictures on the wall, but
and was there a sense that even behind the Iron Curtain in the early 1960s, Ronnie Delaney was a very well-known athlete?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, the crowd were on its feet almost purely for him. You know, he was a superstar in his day, he was a legend. And he'll live on, doubtless. And I tell athletes about him. I coach athletics, and I tell them about him, and you know, they'll see about him in my coaching book as well. So it's lovely to have his book with a personally signed dedication in it. And he was very, very kind to us when we actually met him. Again, no apology for going to Madrid for his superior gig about a month earlier. But we laughed. We had a lovely time on the visit without him. So I just hope that people will, who didn't know about him, read up a bit about him, and they can't be anything but inspired by reading about how he went about his business and what he achieved.
Yes, it's amazing. What's the name of the book, by the way? What's the name of your book, Mike?
Oh, his book is called Staying the Distance. There are two versions of it, hardback and a paperback, and I would recommend the hardback because it's got the dust jacket with the finish of the Olympic race in it, and with the second bloke on the back, suitably on the back cover. Ronnie's leaving the front cover looking good, and the other guy's straining on the back cover, looking a bit pained.
Yeah.
And there's another knee nipping in behind Richtenheim. It might have been John Landy, the great Australian. I know he was in the final, and you said that Ian Boyd was in that final as well. IGH Boyd was a chappie I knew because he used to coordinate a Sunday training group at Loughborough when I was up there. We used to go out with Ian, and he certainly mentioned Ronnie en passant. So Ian was probably inspired by him as well, although I don't know where he finished in the Olympics, but he would probably been well down on comparative time because Ronnie was sort of lower 340s for 1500 metres, which was sort of Roger Bannister or better sort of time.
And then what's the name of your coaching book, Mike?
It's called Don't Crush the Eggs in Your Armpit. It's an association of ideas where you visualise something, and the cover of my book has got a shot putter on the cover with his elbow suitably high and a frightened bird in its nest under his armpit, various pictures in it of things to visualise about athletic events, high jump, a banana clearing a banana, things like that. Things that they've worked with adults as well as children, these ideas of mine. I've been coaching since about 1960s. So don't crush the eggs in your armpit. Probably a bit of Ronnie Delaney's crept in there as well on competitiveness. I would like to think so anyway.
Yes.
And I shed a tear today, but lots of good memories of when I raced against him, when he showed me who he was, and when we met him personally, what a gentle and modest fellow he was. His total modesty when we met him. No trumpets blown, just kept chattering away and enthusiastic, even in his later years when we met him, totally enthusiastic and a gentleman.
Mike Fleet, a pleasure to have you on the show this evening. Thank you very much for paying a brilliant tribute to Ronnie Delaney.
Well, he deserved it, and best wishes to his family and sympathies. Cheers for now. Happy days.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Fleet there on the line, who would have competed at the World University Games, where Delaney won gold in Sofia in 1961, partaking in the 800 metres. We're going to be talking Gaelic Games after the break with David Brady, who's in studio now. DB, you're very welcome. How are you doing?
Good one. Good.
You had the pleasure of meeting Ronnie Delaney as well.
I had, Jan. Isn't it lovely just to listen to the past? And, you know, and again, as Irish people, we're very proud, but that's, you know, 1956... to what we are, you know, middle-aged man, 30-year-old man. Just how, like, he always was the pride of the nation. And, like, Ronnie Delaney, to me, growing up, I've heard, and, you know, and yet, but I actually met him once, and it was surreal. And that man talked about him being a gentleman and no airs and graces. I went out for dinner with my wife once in Spain, on a date night, and it ended up a great night because our table actually was just beside Ronnie Delaney and his wife, and it ended up we put the tables together nearly, and
right.
it was just Irish accent. How you doing? I'm going, I know well who this is, Ronnie Delaney.
And he's going, I know well who David Brady.
And it was like, and oh, you get on and you come, and it was like, and I said to his wife, and Joan was in it, when he went, I said, like, I'm so honored to meet him. And like, and oh, like, I had a hard time too. And she was like, you know, the sacrifices that she made. And she was, we spent 2.5 hours in the company of just lovely, lovely people. But it was Ronnie Delaney and his wife, Joan. It was, and like, I was saying to my wife, I didn't even need to tell her who, I said, you know who he is? And we were talking about kids, and they were talking about their grandkids, and he asked me, where you're from? I said, Mayo. And he goes, oh, would you ever do it? You know, and this was an absolute as legend in our national lifetime. And we just talked, and there was nothing about what he did. I remember he gave me his card and he says, give me a call, I'd love to meet you for a coffee in Dublin. Ronnie Delaney, marketing consultant, and I never was brave enough to say, oh, do you remember me, Ronnie, down Marbella? And it was just lovely to be in the presence of two lovely people.
Yeah.
But a national hero and an icon in Irish sport and history at the same time. He talked about, you know, traveling the world, and do you travel, and what do you... It was lovely, but it was one of the nicest moments or meals I've ever had.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, and so, like, such down to earth, absolute lovely, lovely people. But it was Ronnie Delaney. Yeah.
From everything that I've read today, if you had rang the number on that business card, I think he would have remembered you. I think he was an amazing man, yeah, for putting a face to a name and being interested in other people.
He was,
and
yeah,
remembering the important details, which so many other people would... I would forget just a name a week later, yeah, but apparently, yeah, 10 years later he would meet people and he'd know exactly who you are. Yeah. So,
lovely man, yeah, and look at the pride of our nation, and there'll be many a tribute, and I think permanent tributes as well from a remembrance point of view, yeah.
Right. But, we're going to talk Gaelic games, but let's just take a quick break.
Off the ball on News Talk.